Would the Senate please come to order? Will the members please vote to indicate their presence?
The roll shows 18 members present this morning, Mr. President.
Please stand for the invocation this morning by Monsignor Miller of St. Paul's Catholic Church.
Let us pray. It's a reflection on Matthew 25. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me. I was ill and you comforted me, in prison and you came to visit me. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we welcome you away from our home, or clothe you in your nakedness? When did we visit you when you were ill or in prison? I assure you, as often as you did it for one of my least brothers, you did it for me. Almighty God, you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We thank you for another night and for another day. Since yesterday, Lord, the Juneau community extended hospitality to these members of the legislature. We thank you for that kindness. We listened to Governor Cooper's State of the State address, and being aware of his vision, realized some of the work that is to be done this year and next year. We become more and more aware that we don't live in isolation, but that we are interdependent, that what we do or don't do not only affects the present, but also the future. Hear our morning prayer. Help us to live the truth. Put in us the flame of your love, and make our love for you grow to a perfect love which reaches to our neighbor. Help us today, Lord, to identify with the needs of the people. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Will Senator Rohde please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Ewing.
I would move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the Secretary certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the second legislative day in House and Senate Joint Supplement Number 1.
Senator Halford.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journals be approved for the second legislative day in House Senate Joint Supplement Number 1.
Without objection, the journal is certified. Introduction of guests. Messages from Senator Adams.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce in Gallery A, I think, is an old friend of ours, Lee McInerney, who is has been Commissioner of Community and Regional Affairs and also has been former Mayor of Seward. If we'd introduce former Commissioner Lee McInerney.
Any further guests for introduction? Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the gallery behind me is an old friend, formerly from Eagle River, now from the south end of Admiralty Island, Mary Goodson.
Senator Eliason.
Mr. President, I noticed an old friend in the far gallery there, Mr. Art Nielsen from Sitka.
Any further guests for introduction? Would the Secretary please note the presence of Senators Fakes and Zaroff in the chambers? Messages from the Governor.
There are no messages today, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
There are no messages today.
Communications.
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
January 12, 1989, Mr. President, in compliance with AS 2410-030 of Uniform Rule 3A, the Senate Rules Committee hereby reports its nomination of of Nancy Quinto to serve as Secretary of the Senate for the 16th Legislature and recommends election by the Senate, signed by Senator Alister Juluski, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Rohde, Eliason, Kelly, and Kurtula.
Senator Juluski.
I'm very pleased to move and ask unanimous consent that Nancy Quinto be elected as Secretary of the Senate.
Are there any objections? Nancy Quinto is elected Secretary of the Senate.
Mr. President, I'd like to offer congratulations, Madam Secretary, and would you please introduce your staff and also the ones that are not present, if you could make note.
Thank you, Senator Juluski. This is Joyce Roloff, Heather Cashin, and in my office is Carol Biggs and Jean Lee.
Reports of special committees.
January 6, 1989, Dear Senator Kelly, in accordance with AS 2460.50B, the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics has reviewed the programs and loans of the state and has prepared a list of those programs and loans that meet and do not meet the standards set out in AS 2460.50A. Attached is that listing for publication, signed by Senator Pat Porchot, Chairman, Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. This list will be published in Senate Supplement Number 1 in today's journal. January 9, 1989, Dear Senator Kelly and Representative Cotton, attached is a semi-annual report of advisory opinions of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics for the period July 1, 1988 through July 8, 1989, as required under AS 2460.130A2. Names of persons involved have been deleted according to statute. A copy of this report is also on file in the Senate Secretary's office. That is the special reports for today.
Introduction of Senate resolution.
Senate Resolution Number 1 by the Rules Committee, establishing a Senate Special Committee on High Sea Salmon Interception.
Rules.
Senate Resolution Number 2 by the Rules Committee, establishing a Senate Special Committee on International Trade and Tourism.
Rules.
Senate Resolution Number 3 by the Rules Committee, establishing a Senate Special Committee on Banking and Economic Development.
Rules.
Senate Resolution Number 4 by the Rules Committee, establishing a Senate Special Committee on Oil and Gas.
Rules.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4 by Senator Kelly, proposing an amendment to the Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature relating to the jurisdiction of the Judiciary Standing Committees.
Judiciary.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 11 by Senator Jaroff, supporting efforts to stop or postpone the federal government's plans to complete outer continental shelf oil and gas leases in Bristol Bay in the North Aleutian Basin.
Oil and gas resources.
That's all of the Senate resolutions we have today.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 71 by Senator Ewing, entitled An Act Providing for Transitional Medical Care and Child Care for Families That Become Ineligible for Aid to Families with Dependent Children Because of Employment, requiring the Department of Health and Social Services to make a report after re-evaluating certain assistance standards and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 101 by Senator Kelly, entitled An Act Relating to Civil Liability for Sports Officiating and Providing for an Effective Date.
Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 102 by Senator Kelly, entitled An Act Relating to Winter Olympic Funding and Providing for an Effective Date.
State Affairs, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 103 by Senator Kelly, entitled An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs for a Headquarters Facility and Providing for an Effective Date.
State Affairs, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 104 by Senator Coghill, entitled An Act Relating to Fourth Class Boroughs.
Community and Regional Affairs, Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 105 by Senator Coghill, entitled An Act Relating to Unification of Municipalities.
Community and Regional Affairs.
Senate Bill Number 106 by Senator Coghill, entitled An Act Relating to School Boards in Regional Educational Attendance Areas.
Health, Education, Social Services, State Affairs.
And Senate Bill Number 107 by Senators Sturgiewski and Kelly, entitled An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Office of the Governor to Promote Support for Oil and Gas Development in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and Providing for an Effective Date.
Resources, Finance.
And that's all the Senate bills for today.
Unfinished business. Senate Secretary will please read the two orders from the Chief Justice of the Alaska Supreme Court making the three public appointments to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics.
Dated January 10, 1989, in the matter of the appointment of members of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics, it is ordered pursuant to AS 2460-130B3, Margie McNeely is appointed to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics to serve during the 16th session of the Alaska Legislature. Signed, Warren M. Matthews, Chief Justice. The second order is dated January 5th, pursuant to AS 2460-130B3, Thomas B. Stewart and Irene Payton are appointed to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics to serve during the 16th session of the Alaska State Legislature. Signed, Warren W. Matthews, Chief Justice.
I'll make at this time the Senate appointments to the Senate Subcommittee on Ethics. There will be Senators Coghill, Kelly, and Porcheau. Senator Halford. Senate will stand at ease.
I move that the Senate confirm the appointments to the Senate Ethics Committee.
Jack.
Objection is noted. Question being, shall the Senate...
Mr. President.
Senator Fakes.
The appointments to the Ethics Committee, has being the author of the original bill that passed when I was a freshman, requires a three-fourths vote, I believe, and requires a consensus among the body, some discussion among the body, and I would like to know why Senator Eliason wasn't selected. He has been on the Ethics Committee since the inception of that Ethics Committee. I know of no reason why he couldn't reserve. I believe it was everyone's my certain thought that he would be on that Ethics Committee, and I guess I would just like some discussion over the selection process.
Senator Curtula.
I'm curious why some of the rest of us weren't put on under the same terms. I think it is the President's call.
Any further discussion? Senator Coghill.
President, could we have one at ease, please?
Senate, stand at ease. Senate, come back to order. Any further discussion?
Mr. President.
Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, because in the statute that the Ethics Committee members are required to have, I believe, two-thirds vote of the membership of the House, that I move and ask unanimous consent that the issue be divided and that we vote on individual members.
Senator Fahrenkamp?
I think we can vote them all at one time.
There is an objection to the motion to divide the question. The question is, should the... I'm waiting. Question before the body is, should the question be divided? Members may proceed to vote. The motion to divide fails by a vote of 18 no's, 2 yeses. Is there any further discussion on the main question?
Question.
Question has been called for. Members may proceed to vote. The question being, shall the Senate confirm the three public members, Irene Payton, Thomas B. Stewart, Margie McNeely, Senators Coghill, Kelly, and Porcheau to the Senate Ethics Committee. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? And so the public members of the Ethics Committee and the Senate members of the Senate Ethics Committee have been confirmed by a vote of 19-1. Secretary will please notify the House. Under further unfinished business, today I'm appointing the Senate Ad Hoc Council on Anwar, Senator Kelly Chair, Senator Fahrenkamp, Senator Pierce. Under further unfinished business, I wish to add an additional referral to the Finance Committee for Executive Order 72, additional referrals for Senate Bill 46 relating to the Alaska Power Authority to the Labor and Commerce Committee, Senate Bill 82, legislation relating to the Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agricultural Bank to the Labor and Commerce Committee, Senate Joint Resolution Number 5, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, providing provisions, amending provisions relating to the Alaska Permanent Fund to the Judiciary Committee, and that's all the additional referrals I have at this time. Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move and ask unanimous consent that the referral to HES of Executive Order 73 be waived. And that's the function of issuing certain fishing, hunting, and trapping license tags.
Without objection, the committee referral for Executive Order 73 is waived from the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. I have a further referral to the Resources Committee. Announcements. Senator Fisher?
Under unfinished business. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call of the House on January the 13th and the 27th for state business.
Any objections? So ordered. Further announcements? Senator Binkley.
Mr. President, under unfinished business.
Senator Binkley.
Move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate this Friday. I don't know what the date is, and also next Monday. Thank you.
Without any objections, so ordered. Under unfinished business, in answer to Senator Eliason's question yesterday as to whether or not we were going to meet in session on Monday, the 16th, Martin Luther King's birthday, I talked to the House Speaker, and it was a decision to go ahead and meet on in session on Monday, January 16th.
Mr. President.
Senator Sturgill.
Under unfinished business, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from session and not subject to call on Monday the 16th to attend an advisory meeting of the International North Pacific Fisheries Commission. That's on Sunday. I will be back, but I have to come in the morning, and if the planes are late, I would not be on hand.
Without objection, so excused. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, as long as we're making absences at this time, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate on Friday, January 20th. I will be in Fairbanks to argue the Supreme Court case.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Porcheau.
In the event of bad weather, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to be excused from the session on Monday the 16th, although I am planning on being here in order to attend a Alaska Housing Marketing Council meeting over the weekend.
Without exception, so excused. Senator Pierce, did you have an announcement on excuses today? Any further announcements? Senator Zara.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to ask unanimous consent that I be excused Monday the 16th for attending the advisory meetings for the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council and also the INPFC.
Without objection, so excused.
Mr. President.
Senator Zara.
Under unfinished business, I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor to Senate Bill 98. Which is an act relating to penalty imposed for certain traffic offenses. I have checked with the sponsor of the bill, and she concurs with my request.
Any objections? Okay, Senator Binkley.
Mr. President, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as an additional co-sponsor to Senate Bill 19 relating to seizure and forfeiture of property in cases involving controlled substances, imitation controlled substances, and alcoholic beverage control laws.
No objections. So ordered. Are there any further announcements? Senator Coghill.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate on February the 3rd and February the 4th for business and for official business and private business.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move and ask unanimous consent with the consent of the sponsor that my name be added to Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 6 on salmon interception.
Without objection, so ordered. Are there any further announcements? Special orders.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ewing.
Mr. President, I'm sorry, I was just trying to catch you were saying announcements and unfinished business. Announcements for next week, the Finance Committee will meet on 9 o'clock next Tuesday, January 17th, and also Wednesday, January 18th. I thought I'd get that announcement in earlier so everybody could plan that.
Any further announcements? Special orders. Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, I'd like to rise to and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to speak on the governor's speech that was given to us at 7 o'clock last night.
Objection, you have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, last night we received a 10-page manifesto by the governor on more government, more taxes, tax and spend philosophy. It seems to me that with this roadmap, the people of Alaska are really the losers. He's talking about raising 10% increases in some of the elite members of his cabinet, in his governor's office, the workers of the state, at the expense of about 11% to the private sector and those people that we represent. And any time you have an income tax or a sales tax or any kind of a tax, what you're doing is that you're taking away from their take-home pay. You're taking away from their lunch bucket. And really, when we all get down to the bare facts of it, Mr. President, the economy issue in the whole state of Alaska is not good. The only place that is really rosy and good is in state government, in government where those people have an area where that they're pretty much protected. So the issue is clear to me that this administration in the last 2 years of their being at the helm are moving towards, instead of moving towards the enhancement of the private sector, the next 2 years through resource development, we'll be moving more towards government intervention in our family affairs and the everyday life of our citizens. And this was brought about in the speech. There's 10 pages, Mr. President, of debate, and I don't plan on taking all of that debate on today, but I'm certainly going to be speaking out on it as we go through the session, and I'm sure that most of you will probably have the same regard. But the one area that really disturbed me, Mr. President, was when he started talking about the Rail Belt Energy Fund. Now, everybody in the legislature that has been here for some time knows that that Rail Belt Energy Fund was a kind of a covenant fund that was set aside for the Rail Belt. It had to do with Susitna, but it had to do with the four dam pool. It had to do with the power equalization program. It had to do with all kinds of power enhancement programs that were given to the villages as well as to southeastern Alaska and southwestern Alaska and all over the state. So we put a fence around it, and we tried to protect that. We had what we called the Energy Council, and we had, in fact, one of the things that Energy Council did for us was that it finally got the utilities talking to each other, because before that time, while there was never any talk or there was never any rapport between the different competing utilities for that money. And we got them to pretty well agree that money should be used for the intertie and should be used for power enhancement along the Parks Highway and to be able to reduce the overall cost of power to the people in Fairbanks as well as in Anchorage and to be able to be interdependent between the two communities. Now I see where he wants to bury that in the deep, dark hole of government by allowing that to be projected over an $80 million this year and an $80 million next year. And I can submit to you that that's probably going to be what the Rail Belt communities will get as far as CIPs or capital improvement projects are concerned. And I can bet your bottom dollar that the people that represent other areas of Alaska are going to be in there in the general fund getting their
capital improvement projects. So I don't think that that necessarily is going to work. But I say that the debate on these issues will continue. But it disturbed me when I heard on the news this morning, as I was having my morning coffee at 6:15, almost fell off of the stool when I heard that the legislative leaders were giving high marks to the governor in his outline of where Governor Cooper wants to take this state. And I think that what we ought to do is that we ought to go for the summit, this summit program that he talks about. But I wonder if you take three from the House, Mr. President, and three from the Senate, so how are you going to be able to lead the other 37 on the House side and the other 17 on the Senate side as far as the tax and spend policy of the state of Alaska? Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Yearling?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or thank you, Mr. President. I have to get used to this. I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to speak on the governor's speech last night and taxes.
Without objection, you have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to basically say I did respond a little bit last night to some of the comments the governor made. I think what we saw last night was not a budget reduction plan, but we saw a spend plan. I think if you recall, there were four times and four different tax proposals that were all put forward at the same time. However, I do think that the summit idea is one which we should look at. I think that there is a consensus, both Republicans and Democrats, to look very carefully at reducing the cost of government. I think the people out there want to see more efficiency in government. We have not seen leadership up to this point from the governor's office, and I think that we have to work very carefully to come up with a solution to this spend plan, and I would look forward to working on that.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Halford.
Mr. President, on the same topic.
Without objection, you have the floor, Senator.
The speech yesterday started with a statement that your state government is not your enemy, and went on to say, and if you don't believe it, we'll give you a state sales tax. And if you still don't believe it, we'll give you a gasoline tax. And if you still don't believe it, next year we'll give you an income tax. And if you still don't believe our hand of friendship to the private sector, we'll spend your permanent fund reserve, we'll reduce your dividends, we'll offset inflation proofing, and make your permanent fund in real value worth half of what it is today 10 years from now. Now, that's an interesting definition. I think we've got kind of a new meaning for the term red tide. Welcome to Oz.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Adams.
Mr. President, I request the privilege of the floor to speak on municipal property tax.
Without objection, the floor is yours, Senator.
Mr. President, in recent days, the Alaskan newspapers have given prominence, not only to me, but I just will skip that for today, but to the issue of municipal property tax. In spite of the front page coverage, this is not a new issue. It has been dealt through at least three administrations and several legislatures. After all that has been said and done, it has been consistently been determined that the decisions remain correct as they are. The fact that the issue has surfaced again indicates something is wrong. Otherwise, what is the basis of these persistent questions and misinterpretations? As one who has observed and at times refereed these various debates, ambiguity is the only clear characteristic surrounding oil property taxation in Alaska. During the past 8 years in the House of Representatives, I took an active role in those debates and discussions. This year, as a senator from a district that includes a borough from which 85% of Alaska revenues flow, I will continue to take an active role in this issue. As chairman of the powerful Committee on Community and Regional Affairs and representing the interest of all Alaska municipalities and boroughs, I believe that we need a more local and regional input on the subject. A broader overview, an analyst of the law is critical at this particular point. Therefore, as chairman of CRA, I have asked Lee Mack
McNary, Ernie, a former mayor of Seward, Alaska, and a former commissioner of CRA, to chair a Blue Ribbon ad hoc committee to examine this recurring problem. This committee will report to the legislature how this issue can be resolved quickly and equitably for both the state and local governments. Ms. McInerney shares the viewpoint of everybody in this particular chamber that the issue affects more than just the two communities of North Slope Borough and Valdez. It affects every single community in our state. She has agreed that her committee will incorporate all the viewpoints into the scope of this particular study. At this point, Mr. President, I will not formulate the committee's function, but will delegate that responsibility to that particular committee. I have been assured by the chairman that she will prepare and announce the membership of this particular ad hoc committee today, and at that particular time will give to us and to the press its activity and schedule. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have the privilege of the floor to speak on the governor's speech last evening?
Without objection, you have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. After listening to the various comments that were made on the floor this morning, I thought it appropriate to make just a very brief comment concerning the governor's speech last night. I'm sure many of us were somewhat surprised with the speech, the presentation. He laid his cards on the table, and I think it probably was a message that many people did not want to hear. I, for one, for example, am not very enthusiastic about an increased gasoline tax in the community, which pays perhaps the highest gasoline price in the state at the pump. Not very enthusiastic about a sales tax, but I applaud the governor for what I consider to be perhaps a courageous stand in laying out the proposals and the options to the public so that that can be evaluated and so the debate and discussion can start. What concerns me, Mr. President, from what I heard on the floor, is to characterize perhaps his position as spend, spend, spend. I didn't necessarily take it that way. I took his position as being one saying we need to stabilize government spending. We need to build some stability into the economy of the state, and I think he was reflecting perhaps on what happened 2 years ago, and we should reflect on what happened 2 years ago when we did do massive reductions in state spending and the impact on the economy. And it's clear to me, Mr. President, that that reduction in state spending did have a tremendous negative impact on the economy, not just in this community, but in Anchorage and Fairbanks and many other communities across the state. So I think we need to approach this very carefully. The governor has laid out the options. We need to debate and discuss the revenue-raising side of it, and we do need to look at state spending. And I think the governor would agree, and I would concur, that there are areas perhaps where we can tighten up, where efficiencies can be achieved, and state spending can be reduced somewhat. But we need to do it carefully. We need to evaluate the impact on local governments, on educational programs. And that, I think, is what the governor was saying, that we need to do it carefully. There's some options there that need to be evaluated, but we need to remind ourselves of what happened 2 years ago, and we should not mislead the public, nor mislead ourselves, into thinking we can go in and make drastic reductions in spending and keep the economy of this state stable. We do have a challenge before us in this session. I think the governor laid it out very clearly.
Thank you, Senator. Any further special orders? Senator Halford. Senator Coghill.
I served notice on my reconsideration of my vote on the ethics vote.
We have notice on reconsideration on the vote on the ethics committee.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Any objection? Senate stands in adjournment.